Paul Tanko, I think it would be fair to say that you would be characterized as a fairly progressive guy within the Democratic Party. Would you accept that?
I'll accept it humbly.
Yes, okay. And now there's this very interesting thing that has divided Democrats and Republicans and Democrats and Democrats and Republicans, which is the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade deal.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, NAFTA is one of those things. You say NAFTA to somebody from the left of the Democratic Party, and the chances are they are not going to like it, and mm-hmm. they're thinking that it takes jobs away from Americans by putting jobs among those people right. who charge less for their labor. What do you think?
Well, I think that, first, let me tell you, I am very concerned about what NAFTA has done to upstate New York. Beyond that, these trade negotiations have gone far away from trade barriers and tariffs. It's about public policy that gets woven into these documents, and it's very upsetting. It creates a very unlevel playing field. We, interestingly, have thrown in environmental standards, public health, safety measures, worker rights, collective bargaining opportunities into these packages.
So in other words, if we do make a deal with somebody, they have to do all those things.
Right. But yeah. we're doing public policy that's an international impact and creates an unlevel playing field for those doing business here in the U.S. So what you do have is an outcome where you're not only offshoring jobs, which is difficult for the American worker, the most egregious outcome, you're losing that job.
But wait, Paul, your president of the United States, the Democratic president of the United States, is for this, quote, fast-tracking, which gives him the authority to move
right.
ahead with it.
And I'm opposed to it. I not only am opposed to fast-tracking, I'm working with my colleague Rosa DeLauro from New Haven, Connecticut, and a few others, including Louise Slaughter from Western New York, and actually working the Democratic caucus to say no to fast-track. I think Congress is circumvented when we do fast track. We should be there, invested in this issue, voicing the concerns of our districts, and having robust debate and opportunities, real opportunities, authentic opportunities to amend up or down the negotiated outcome. What we're going to see, I think, is not only the loss of these jobs, great paying jobs, for
you mean
middle
here
class
in the
America.
United States?
Yes.
Yeah.
And going to other countries. But that's not the end of the story. We're also dumbing down the paycheck so that you're going to have situations like Vietnam where you're making 56 cents on the dollar, per hour. That is not a good outcome for anybody. And when you ask for certain things to be included in the negotiated package, like currency manipulation, they have said no to that.
In other words, China.
Right. So they take and manipulate the dollar. And so, for instance, with the Japanese situation, you would be giving the American consumer like $6,000 in their hand if they purchase a Japanese import as an automobile. That's a very difficult outcome for the American auto industry, the American auto worker, to compete with. So there are a number of things in this process that really disturb me. And there's also a situation where you can develop, they have these courts that are established where you can go and, as a corporation, apply for a relief from certain regulatory measures that are costing you in the format of business.
You've got a foreign government doing that? You mean? No.
Setting up these courts that are part of this process that are oftentimes staffed by the councils of various corporations. And then if it's deemed an egregious regulation, they undo it. So you could dumb down the regulatory process that's there to protect individuals, to strengthen environmental outcomes, or to remove oversight and investigation. So internationally, when this begins to grow, you know, because this fast track is not just for this term, for this negotiated outcome, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, it could go as long as 6 years. So you could have international banks applying for relief from regulation. So there's a lot of material behind the curtain, so to speak.
But the president of the United States says he wants this, it'll be good for business, it'll encourage business. Can you tell me, Paul Tonko, one thing that you think might be good about fast-tracking?
One thing that might be good about fast-tracking?
In other words, giving the executive this extra authority.
I don't see it as any good. I just see there's too many questions that need to be answered and resolved, and there needs to be a checks and balance outcome with the Congress.
So the Republicans are in the majority. Mm-hmm. You've got some Democrats who are with their president on this. You've got a lot of people who are not. What's the chances for the bill passing?
I think the fast track vote is going to be very, very close. And as I said, I've been whipping, and we have been
whipping,
meaning
you're getting the votes out.
Working our colleagues for votes against the fast track. And that vote will probably be coming up during the month of May. We return early in May to session, and I would think that the vote would be very, very close, but I believe we're getting more and more people to see the issue our way, and I'm hopeful that we can stop the fast-track effort.
Now, Paul Tonko, we only have 3 minutes left, but I want to talk to you a little bit about campaign finance reform. There are many of us who think that if we were to reform and do what New York City does, give $6 for every dollar that a politician raises, we would open up the political process, we would do that. But the Republicans aren't for it, so we'll probably never see it while they're there, right?
Yeah, I think it stops the progress on campaign finance reform. And I think the dark money, that money that just is sky the limit in nature, that has no accountability, no transparency, is what's really the renation of the system. And when you don't have disclosure on some of these campaign advertisements, coming with the following it with the trail of this, I mean, let's face it, many people will see contributions of all kinds especially those larger contributions as a problem. But if you have to account for every one of those dollars, which we do, you're at least explaining to the public what the money is, who it's come from, where it's gone into your account, and they can look at your track record. And you know, I think you can easily, if you're guiding yourself with utmost integrity, you can easily show where the influence isn't there, where you've had this balanced outcome in your voting record. But the dark money that has been encouraged by the court decision from the highest court in the land, from the Supreme Court of the United States, they, I believe, acted as politicians in black robes and gave us a 5-4 decision, which is as close, obviously, as it can get. And we have this dark money that is now tainting political outcomes, buying seats in the House, buying seats on the Hill in Washington. And it doesn't end there. There's an IOU. A string attached to that dark money that has an agenda. And I think this agenda is bad. You know, we talk about all the self-interest, all the, you know, the greed that is part of the equation. We talked earlier in this program about the trade deals. You know, you want to see a dent in the economy? Look at our trade deficit. Look at how greed, look at our failed policy on taxation, where if it's not progressive enough, you're creating a slush fund for individuals. They're taking that slush fund and then applying it to purchasing seats in the House. It's warped. It's a no-brainer fix that is required here.
Paul Tonko, we love you. We love the fact that you're here with us and that you come in and you look me in the eye. And if you think I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. And you tell me when I'm right. And I really respect that. Thank you so much.
I don't remember telling you you're wrong.
Well, okay, I made that up.